This world has had a lot of things go on in it that are not good. And once again, the folks in this world saw one of their own, one that they idolize, actually a couple of them that they idolize, go all to pieces and destroy themselves. We're going to talk about something this morning about that. Because I was born in 62, and so in the last 47 years, actually more like about 43 or 44, since I was old enough to know, I have seen countless people that this society idolizes, they worship, destroy themselves. We just had one this past week destroy himself. At 50 years old, he's dead as a doornail. And from everything that I can see, everything that's out there, he did it to himself. He was heavily addicted to prescription painkillers, narcotics. Was on four different types of narcotics, four different narcotics at one time. And ultimately, that caused his heart to stop. The thing about it is he supposedly had everything this world had to offer. And we can think back over the last, however long you've been alive, all the people that you've heard of that have done this, that have had everything this world supposedly has to offer, and they end up in the grave at a relatively young age. 50 years old is not that old. It may be to the young and to you, Derek, but 50 years old is not that old. And for someone to have everything this world supposedly offers and have all the security that this world supposedly offers, to end up in the grave at 50 years old because they were so heavily on drugs that their body couldn't handle anymore and it shut down, says something's not right with this picture. We normally see it happen to rock stars, and he was one. But we've seen it happen to folks who were in movies. We've seen it happen to people who were rich in business, had money. We've seen it happen to people who were high in society, born out of what's considered to be the elite families of this country, and indeed of Western Europe. We see it happen more so in people who are not that high and mighty, but the thing that we're going to focus on is one of the reasons why this happens to somebody like Michael Jackson, like Jimi Hendrix, like Marilyn Monroe, and a host of other folks. I mean, the list is longer than your arm. Of people who have died at a young age who had everything this world had to offer and were idolized for it. Part of that problem is that we're designed a certain way. And the way we're designed does not accommodate that kind of lifestyle. It does not accommodate what these people are doing. You see, they're idolized. There's another word for idolizing. It's called worship. There were people that if Michael Jackson had said something, they would have done whatever necessary to get it done, would they not? It was the same way with a whole host of other folks out there, right? But see, that's worship. There is only one that's supposed to be worshipped. That's the Lord God. And in Revelation chapter 4, which is where we're going to begin, and we're going to begin at the throne of God, because there is only one to be worshipped. No one else is worthy of worship. And for some very simple reasons. In Revelation chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, and actually, we're going to read the whole chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Very simply put, from the covering cherub Lucifer on down, and from the highest archangel on down, no one else creates anything. Only the Lord God has created everything, and He's created everything we see. The air we breathe is His air. The ground we walk on is His ground. The food we eat is His food. The clothes we wear on our back are His clothes. The fabric and material that makes them belongs to Him. Our very lives, the souls that we are, He brought into existence at conception. He brought Adam into existence, from which the whole race of man springs, out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He designed us. We are designed. In some ways, we can look at it and say that it is no different than someone sitting down and designing a piece of equipment. In some ways. But not quite. Because there's never been a piece of equipment like this one. David said, well, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said, that my soul knoweth right well. We know we are designed. We know we are made. We know we are created. We are the creature, and He is the creator. And the elders say very plainly in here, he says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And when they say that He's created all things, that means everything. I don't care how many stars you see in heaven, He created every last one of them individually and put them out there. And it talks about the throne in heaven and the sea of glass and the elders, that He created all that too. When they continually worship the Lord, and the 4 beasts continually say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, He created them for that purpose. In other words, everything in our existence is set by the Lord's creation. That means that He and He only is worthy of worship. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, Satan challenged the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh, who is the one that the Apostle John saw sitting on the throne. He is the Lamb. He says, "And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It is kind of an ironic thing to see that Satan, a creature that the Lord Jesus Christ created, offer his creator all the kingdoms of this world and this world only if he will fall down and worship him. When the Lord Jesus Christ, who is standing in front of him, owns everything. I don't know about you, but I find that kind of ironic. There's a little bit of irony there. It's like, excuse me, how does that work now? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, replied unto him from Scripture and said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It should never be the case with any one of the Lord's children, in fact, it should never be the case with any one of us, that we would be so devoted to another person on the face of this earth that we would do whatever they want without question. It should never be the case. We should not ever worship anyone or anything else. Because there's only one to worship and serve, and that is the Lord God. And that is what he says here, and him only. It eliminates everything else, doesn't it? And everyone else. We were not designed to accept worship. In fact, we were not designed to make moral judgments. We're not capable of it. That is why we didn't have it in the Garden of Eden before the fall. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we were designed to make judgments. But our judgments, we were designed to make limited judgments. Judgments that pertain to this world only and the keeping of the things in this world only that are subordinate to us in creation, the animals and the plants. In verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them." And this is what he gave us to make moral, to make judgments over, to have dominion over. "And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." That is the extent of what we were designed to do. We can take care of the dogs, and the cattle, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and the plants that are in this world. That was what we were designed to do. We were designed also to fellowship with the Lord, to talk to Him, to worship Him. We were designed to worship the Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The Lord God has a soul. Part of us being made in the image of God is that we have a soul as well. The angels have a soul. But our soul and who we are and what we are was not designed to make judgments that have a moral dimension. We were not given the ability to discern good and evil. That belongs to the Lord. And the problem is that when we get outside of what we're designed to do, it's just like taking a piece of equipment. I mean, let's put it this way. How many of us have used a screwdriver as a pry bar? Is it designed for that? No, it's not.
It isn't.
It's designed to turn screws. It's not designed to be a pry bar. And if you pry on something too much with it, it will either bend it or break it. And how many have broken a screwdriver prying on something? Most of us who can really, really put pressure on it will ultimately end up taking that screwdriver and trying to pry something it's not designed to pry. You know, I'm reminded of what happened with a gentleman who was a rather high-ranking field grade officer in the Air Force who took a B-52 and tried to make it fly in a way it was not designed to fly. He thought he could do high bank turns and pitch outs and all the things that fighter pilots do in an 8-engine airplane that weighs 500,000 pounds fully loaded. It's not designed to do that. A B-52 is not designed to exceed 35 degrees bank angle. It's not designed to climb at more than 25 degrees. So when you begin to exceed those limitations and exceed those parameters, your margin of error begins to decrease. And the further you get outside those parameters, the worse it gets. Well, he exceeded those parameters one final time on Fairchild Air Force Base way back in June of 1994 and killed three other people and made a big smoking hole in the ground. That's what happens when you take a piece of equipment and you work outside its design parameters. It's no different with us. Except that when we operate outside those design parameters of how our existence is, we do two things. One, we engage in sin. That's automatic. When the Lord God told Adam, Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die. The knowledge of good and evil. We're not designed to have that knowledge. He said, if you have that knowledge, it will kill you. And it did. The appeal of that knowledge is the appeal of anything. I mean, after all, if you've got a car that will do 180 miles an hour, and you're like most young men, man, let's see how fast this thing can really go. I'm reminded of what a guy I knew back in the 80s who was in the Air Force. He found out that the Dodge Omni GLH Shelby Edition could pull 1G turns. In other words, if you made a turn at 1G, it would be your equivalent to your body weight pushing you sideways. Most cars roll long before then, or flip. Somewhere around half a G, they flip. This car could do 1G in a flat turn and not flip, not roll. I don't think there's a single Dodge Omni GLH Shelby Edition left on the road. Kind of like the Subaru WRX. Just call it Rex for short because that's what most people do with them. Why? Because they take it and they operate it outside its design parameters. That's the temptation. That's what we do. Oh, it'll do it. In the right hands, as long as you stay within the design parameters. But we don't ever do that, do we? The temptation here that was put before man was in chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The designer of everything told man, "This one thing here you don't need to have." The creator of man, the creator of the tree, the creator of the garden, the creator of the earth, told the man and the woman, "You can't handle this. Don't do it. You're not designed to handle this. It'll kill you." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You know, it'd be really, really, really something if I could just roll that B-52. Just take that big old heavy airplane and just come completely over in a roll. It'd be really something if like on the pig trail, I could run it in my car at 120 miles an hour. And don't tell me young men haven't tried to do that. I don't have to go back and look at all the accidents on the pig trail to know some people tried it. Because where I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, we had young men try that on those roads, which are worse than the pig trail. And they died. The invitation is to operate outside our design parameters. It's the temptation. Let's do something because it looks like we can handle it. I think I can handle it. Like Lieutenant Colonel Bud Holland said, "I think I can handle crossing a ridge in a B-52 at 6 feet altitude." You know what crossing a ridge at a B-52 at 6 feet altitude means? That means the belly of that B-52 missed the ground by the height of my head at 500 miles an hour. I don't know about y'all, but y'all think about how seriously insane that is. It lacks common sense, doesn't it? The designers of the B-52 at Boeing said, "This airplane not designed to do that." And they wrote a book about what it was designed to do and not do. It's called Dash One. The driver's handbook, a lot of folks out there who have lived a lot of years tell young men all the time, "Your car is not designed to do that. Please don't do that." And what do young men think? "Well, I think I can make it do it." They just don't know what they're talking about. Satan here gave the temptation to the woman that, you know, God just doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just trying to hold you back. You can handle it. You do know you will be able to be like gods if you know good and evil. You can handle it. Oh, it ain't gonna hurt you. He just doesn't want to be. He wants you to be like him. That's all. The problem is that the designer and creator of it all, his whole motivation wasn't, "You don't need to be like me." His whole motivation was, "I know what I made. And I know that I didn't make you to where you're capable of handling that." Just like the Boeing designers, they didn't design that B-52 to do rolls and fly low-level passes to the ground at, you know, minimal altitudes, to do high-angle pitch-outs. They didn't design it to do that. They designed it to do a certain job, which was drop bombs in straight level flight. That's what it's designed to do. And it does that very well. We were designed to keep and dress the garden and have dominion over the things of the earth. And you know what? If we stayed within those design parameters, we would do that really well. But we didn't. We became as gods, knowing good and evil, and it killed us. It separated us from the Lord God because we begin to make judgments based upon things that we know nothing about. Because not a one of us can look into the future and see the end result of our decisions that we make and how they influence other people and how they affect other people. We don't know that. You can't tell me what decisions and what interactions you've had with other people, what effect they're going to have 10 years down the road. It's impossible for us. The Lord God can because He sees all time all at once. He knows the end from the beginning. That's why they said He in Revelation chapter 1, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's why He said, I'm the beginning and the ending. That which is, which was, and which is to come. Where in Micah, He tells us His goings forth are from old, from of old, from everlasting. In Isaiah, He tells us, from the time that it was, there am I. In which we have to ask the question, when is the time that it was? Well, if we go back in time, we find that, well, the time that it was is further back. And we go back to that place and we say, oh no, the time that it was is further back than that. And it's further back than that. And we go look into infinity past and we find that the Lord is always there. That there's never a time when He's not there. That He told Moses from the burning bush, I am. I am that I am. I'm self-existent. That's what's wrapped up in I am that I am. I'm self-existent. I exist in and of my own power. Which of us can say that? None of us can say that we exist in and of our own power because you know what? If we are deprived of oxygen, guess what happens to us? We're gone. In about 7 minutes' time, our brain dies. And that's it. We can go a little longer without food, about 3 or 4 weeks. We can go about 3 or 4 days without water. We require those things for the sustaining of our life. We can't say, I am that I am. But you know what? The Lord God made the oxygen in the air, didn't He? He doesn't need it. He made the food that we eat. He doesn't need the food. He made the water that we drink. He doesn't need the water. In fact, He doesn't need any of this. He doesn't need heaven. He made heaven. We can't reach to that, can we? He can know good and evil and it doesn't affect Him because He is good and righteous only. He knows about evil. He never does it. He cannot do it. It's not in His nature. It's simply not there. But He knows about it because He knows every way that the good things that He does can be perverted and distorted and made wrong. And so the temptation was given to man that ye shall be as gods. In Psalm 82, verses 1 through 8, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Who is that? That's all of us, and that's those the angels that fell. We act like we're gods. Why? Because as Satan said, you know good and evil. We make decisions that only God can really make. Because we weren't designed that way. And so consequently, all the decisions we make like that, with the exception of one, are wrong. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That's us. When we stepped outside our design, our judgments that we made are unjust. We make them in darkness, not knowing the end of them. That's what it means when it says that you're in darkness. It's because you don't know. And we do not know. We can't even say what's on the other side of that wall. In Psalms, David testifies of the Lord and says, "The darkness and the light are alike to thee." We find that after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ just appeared to them in a locked, closed room. He didn't need a door. This ceiling that covers us and protects us from the sun doesn't even exist to God. You know, I look around this room at the chairs, the carpet, the floor, at y'all, at myself. And not only does He know what the thoughts of each and every one of us are right now, but He knows what every single molecule, every single atom of every molecule, and every single particle of every atom in our body is doing all at once. And He can distinguish it all. The sheer volume of information that the Lord knows is staggering. It's beyond understanding. And Psalms testifies of Him and says that His understanding is infinite. As He is infinite, He's capable and qualified. He doesn't make unjust decisions because He sees and He knows the end of everything. We make unjust decisions, unjust judgments. We favor the wicked even when we think we do not, because we walk in darkness. He doesn't. And He said, because of that, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Our sin affects this world in a very negative way. It affects this universe in a very negative way. It affects all of physical creation. I have said, ye are gods, and all you are the children of the Most High, which is true. There is not a single angel or demon made or man made that the Lord God did not make. We're all His children in that sense, because He made us all. But we're not all His children in the sense that we follow Him and obey Him. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. No, our problem here is that we operate outside of our design parameter. Well, we know that when we operate a piece of equipment outside its design parameter, like running that chainsaw at full tilt, full bore, 24/7, how long is it going to last?
Not real long. A lot longer than if you added it to it.
Neither one are within its design parameter.
That's right.
It's designed to operate at varying speeds for varying periods of time and to be lubricated properly and taken care of in a certain way. That's its design. Unlike that piece of equipment, though, it doesn't experience anxiety. It's just a dumb old piece of equipment. It doesn't know anything. Granted, we're like that piece of equipment in that if we operate outside of our design, we'll be destroyed, like it will. But we have an additional thing that goes on. We know when we're operating outside our design, what we're set for. And it causes in us anxiety. It causes in us an angst, a feeling that things aren't right. That we just don't know what to do with. We don't know how to get around this feeling of what's wrong. No, what happens is that we begin to try to alleviate that angst, that anxiety, that unease with every way but the right way. And the further we get outside our design parameters, the worse that feeling gets. We all know when we've done wrong things, don't we? If you do something that's a little wrong, the feeling is like, well, I kind of shouldn't have done that, right? But if you do something that's really wrong, and we all have a sense of things that are just a little wrong, sort of wrong, a lot wrong, right? We all have that sense. Because we know the impact or the effect it has. I mean, most of us will break the laws concerning speed, don't we? It's wrong, isn't it? And your anxiety level gets ratcheted up every time you pass a policeman when you're doing that. And the higher your speed is when you see him, the worse your anxiety level is. Right? Why? Because you know that the size of your ticket and fine is directly dependent upon the level to which you've exceeded the law. Even to the point of when they put the cuffs on you and take you to jail if it's far enough above the speed limit. Right? So we behave in according with our anxiety level. We kind of know that 5 miles an hour is safe, right? And we'll all operate within that 5 miles an hour. Pretty much. We don't feel too anxious, unless we're driving to Elkins.
Johnson.
But if it's 20 miles an hour over, it don't matter where we're driving, does it? We're just like really, really keened up on, boy, I hope I don't see one. And looking at every car that comes along. And everything we see parked on the side of the road. And every nook and cranny where they might hide. And even in our rearview mirror. And the further above that we go, the more intense we get. And the more anxious we get. And the greater our stress level is. It's no different with anything else. You ever been asked to do something you had very little idea of what in the world it was you were doing? What do you feel like when it happened? You feel like you were drowning? You feel like the anxiety was sky high, wasn't it? Not a comfortable feeling, is it? How do you alleviate that? Well, there's a right way to alleviate it and there's a wrong way to alleviate it, isn't there? There's a right way to deal with the fact that you're exceeding the speed limit by 20 plus miles per hour, isn't there? And there's a wrong way. The wrong way is to continue going down the road at 20 plus miles an hour over the speed limit. The right way is to do what?
Slowly.
Bring yourself back into the parameters that the law says are acceptable. When people are asked to do something they're not comfortable doing, there's a right way to deal with that and the wrong way. The right way is to learn what it is you're doing or go get help. The wrong way is to just bull on into it. Throw caution to the wind and, well, I've been asked to do it, I'm just going to go do it. They should have never asked me to do it in the first place because they knew I couldn't do it. So if it turns out wrong, so what? And I've seen that attitude. That's a wrong attitude. And how does it usually turn out?
Not
good. We were designed by the Lord God, first of all, to not make moral judgments. We were designed only to make judgments pertaining to the animals of this earth, the plants, and the caretaking of this earth. Well, we've already gone outside that. So we already have a level of anxiety that kind of sits there all the time that we're born with. What happens when we step further outside that level of anxiety? That level of things that we're designed to do, and increase that level of anxiety by accepting worship from other people. When we already know the way we are is wrong. We go to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, there's a progression here. Begin in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Instinctively, the Lord put it in us, instinctively, we all know He is there. We all know, now that we know the difference between good and evil, we all know what's right and what's wrong. Our sense of right and wrong works real well. And we know when we're wrong, and we know when the Lord is angry with us. We may not be able to just flat out put a finger on it if we've not been taught. But we know, every last one of us on the face of the earth, know what I'm doing is right or what I'm doing is wrong. We're born with it. And we're born with a knowledge that there is a God in heaven who made us and will hold us accountable. So the further we step outside what we're designed to do, our level of anxiety, just like exceeding the speed limit at a greater and greater amount, our level of anxiety climbs. The worst thing we can do is usurp the position of Almighty God. And there's only one way we can do that. And that's to accept worship from men. We're not designed for that. No, in fact, we're designed exactly the other way. We're designed to worship the Lord. When we read in Revelation chapter 4, the very first, at the beginning of this, what did they say? That He designed, He made everything for His pleasure. All things were created for His pleasure, were they not? Are they not? We're designed to worship Him. We are designed to serve Him. We are designed for Him to fellowship with us and to be reconciled to Him and to walk with Him because He is our Creator. And He made His creation so that His creation would be pleasing to Him. We done departed from that. We're already operating not where we're operating where we shouldn't be operating. In a realm that we don't need to operate in. And we know it. And we know that His wrath is against us because He wants us to come back. And being hard-headed like we are, the only way we come back is if He puts pressure on us. When we were growing up, and mom or dad or somebody else told us, oh, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. If that's all they ever said, and we wanted to do it, did we go ahead and do it? But what if they backed that up and said, I have a belt, and I'm going to use it. And then we're like, I don't think I want to do that. If we persisted and insisted, and they pulled us aside and made it very plain to us, you will get it if you do that. It gave us pause, didn't it? Caused us to think about it. And if we started to do it and they disciplined us, they spanked us, whipped us, then guess what we didn't do? We didn't do it, did we? Unless we just really intended to just, because we weighed the cost, didn't we? The sad part about it is that's how we are. We all, every last one of us, are bullheaded enough to not listen except that there is force behind the commandment. And the Lord said, if you do this, I'll destroy you. That's why He tells us about hell and the lake of fire. Because He gives us warning. He said, you walk down this road, this is your end. Don't do these things. He's kind enough to us to let us know that's our end. If He were a cruel God, and He's not, He would never tell us what would await us. He'd just let us find out for ourselves. You ever pull a prank on somebody? You know, it's really cruel to know what's going to happen to them and not tell them what's going to happen, isn't it? That's cruelty. When you know it's not going to be funny for them. It's going to be funny for us because we get to watch it. Isn't that how we are?
Yeah.
That's cruel. The Lord is not like that. He tells us, this is your end. If you walk this road, this is your end. This is the result. Don't walk that road. That's why He reveals His wrath to us. That the further we get outside of what we're designed to do, the greater the sense of wrath from God. So that we know, I don't need to go there. You ever been riding in a car with somebody who decided they wanted to speed on a road that wasn't good? And the faster they went and the more recklessly they drove, what kind of feeling is inside you? Your anxiety level gets worse and worse to the point where you're like, I want out of this car. I do not want to see the end that's coming because you just know, man, this end is going to get here. One thing goes wrong and it's all over. And I don't want to be there. The Lord gives us that sense that, hey, you don't want to leave this earth in the condition you're in, unreconciled to me. There are certain things you don't want to do on this earth. And the worst thing you can possibly do as a human being is accept worship from other people. Because we are not God. And we're not designed for that. And He makes us to know that when we do that, our anxiety level gets sky high. We can't deal with it. So how do they deal with it? Let's kill the pain. But it's a pain you can't kill physically. Do you ever have a situation in which something happened and inside your chest there was a burning and it just burned and there's nothing physically wrong with you? What do you think's burning? It's your heart and soul. This sickness that gets in the pit of your stomach when you're just fine. But you hear some news and this sickness just hits the pit of your stomach and it just makes you want to just curl up in a little ball. Physically, you're fine. What's wrong? It's in the soul. The heart and soul. And nothing can touch it and nothing can take it away. Oh, you may numb yourself with alcohol. You may kill your feeling with drugs. But as soon as it wears off, guess what? It's right back. And so it takes ever increasing amounts of alcohol, ever increasing amounts of drugs. Some people bury themselves in their work and they work 24/7. Or they go out and party all the time to try to forget, try to get rid of, make this thing go away. They don't know who they're dealing with. The Lord God of heaven and earth never sleeps. In all of His existence, He's never, ever not aware, and He's never slept. He's constantly there. And He constantly sees everything. And He constantly deals with every single human being on the face of the earth. And He deals with all the workings of the universe. For He tells us in Hebrews that He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. Because He's greater than everything. And He doesn't need sleep. And so He is constantly there to put the pressure on us, to remind us, you're not where you need to be. You need to come back to where you're supposed to be, where I designed you to be, in fellowship with Me, worshiping Me, honoring Me, and I will give you life, I will give you health, I will give you everything that you need for your existence. And I will take care of you. So when someone operates in the mode of letting other people worship them, that anxiety level is as high as it can possibly get. And when they try to drown it with drugs or alcohol, sooner rather than later, it catches up to them. Some of them commit suicide because they can't stand it anymore. Not knowing and not understanding that when they depart off this earth, they enter straight into the hell. The ultimate punishment. And it is. The pain that they thought they felt on this earth, that they thought was bad here, it's 1,000 times worse there. And worse yet, come the lake of fire after they're judged and after they're made to know exactly why they were cast into hell. They will be physically and spiritually cast into the lake of fire. So in hell, when they thought the pain was only in their soul, in the lake of fire, in their flesh they will burn too. Ever burning, never consumed. Agony that never goes away. Multiplied 10,000 times over what's on this earth. It is a big mistake to leave this earth unreconciled to God. If they try drowning it with alcohol and drugs and it takes their life, and they end up in hell. But perhaps the worst experience of all is when they stand before the throne of the Lord God. That great white throne of judgment, they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for them, the one who offers them the salvation. And they find out they usurped His position. And they ignored Him. And He made Himself known to them, and they cast it aside. Instead chose to usurp that which belongeth to God only. You ever been confronted with your sin? You ever been confronted with something you've done wrong, and the person that confronts you with it has the power to bring about your correction? They have the power to punish you. What do you feel like when they bring it in front of your face and put it in front of you? You did this and you're now going to suffer for it. Make you feel like you want to crawl under a rock? The sickening feeling inside you is really something, isn't it? Hard to deal with, isn't it? I cannot even begin to imagine what it will be like in front of that great white throne of judgment for those who stand there. Especially for those who accepted the worship that belongs to God only. When He made it known unto them, you don't do this. You don't accept the worship that belongs to Me. That's why they destroy themselves that way. That's why their lives are such a wreck. That's why they are never to be emulated and never to be followed, because these people are doing things that no one should ever do. And that is why we will see them continue to die. Because the wrath of God is against them. Because they are usurping His position. And they are operating far, far, far outside of where they're supposed to operate. No, it's no surprise what happened this past week. And it'd be no surprise when I see more of them die in rather ugly ways.